She wants to come from here.
Oh, you just moved.
She can come.
She's fine tuning.
Bring her on in.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming. Excuse my congestion. A little seasonal here. We'll do the best we can together. So I'd like to discuss today many of the aspects of Pesach Sheni, or as it's called in others in the earlier Sfarim, Pesach Zeira, Pesach Katan, the small Pesach. We commonly refer to it as Pesach Sheni. And I saw brought down in from the Sefer HaTodah, the Book of Our Heritage, he said, people usually think that the reason why it's called Pesach Sheni is because it's the second chance. Really, the reason why it's called Pesach Sheni is because it's the Pesach of the second month of the year. But okay, whatever reason why we call Pesach Sheni, as we're familiar, the source one over here is going to discuss the basic background for how this mitzvah developed. It's a fascinating mitzvah. Seems like it would never have happened if not for the fact that there were a group of Jews that complained that they missed the first Karban Pesach. Let's discuss quick history recap. So the Yidden leave Mitzrayim, as we all know, Tesvav Nisan, and they're in the desert ready for a year, and they bring the next Karban Pesach. There were some Jews who were Tamei, and Gemara tells us on the discussion, but they were Tamei from the Atzmos Yosef. They were carrying the bones of Yosef with them, and here it is, the second Karban Pesach of their life, the first year after they leave Mitzrayim, and they're not able, because they're Tamei, to bring the Karban Pesach, and they come and complain, it's not fair. Now, excuse me, a lot of things in life are not fair, but for some reason, particularly over here, they complained that it wasn't fair because they were Tamei. And Moshe says, it sounds like you have a good taina. And the famous words they say are, Loma nigara, why should we be diminished? Why should we be left out to bring this carbon? And the Pasuk says in Pasuk Ches over here that Moshe tells them, Imdu ve'eshma ma'itzava shamachem, stand here and listen, I'm going to speak to Hashem right now. We'll get a direct communication right now, quick answer, what the solution is. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe in the Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph, don't worry, anybody who is Tamei or in Derech Rechoka or distant away from the Beis HaMikdash by the first Pesach could now make what we call the second Pesach, bring the second Karban Pesach. And the Pasuk says, the end of Yud Aleph, B'chodesh HaSheni, Ba'ab HaSayom, the second month, the 14th day, Bein Harbayim, in the afternoon, Yasol, so you should shech the Karban Pesach, just like we did on the 14th day of Nisan, the month earlier. Amatzos umrom yochlu, we eat the Karban Pesach, the second Karban Pesach, as well for matzos and maror. And you know, there's no noiser, you can't leave it over to the morning. Chol chukas haPesach, you follow all the details of Karban Pesach the first time around, basically follow the same things for the second time around. We're not going to get involved in all the exact details about that, but that's the basic story. And again, it's fascinating that Karban Pesach Sheni, the second Karban Pesach, was only brought about because people complained. So you see that complaining actually gets you somewhere, because here they got a whole new mitzvah and they got the opportunity to get the second Karban Pesach. And what does it really have to do with us? Because it's very clear in the Pesukim that if you brought the first Karban Pesach, so then the month later, in Iyar, there's nothing for you to celebrate. You weren't having Pesach again. You were going to business as usual, regular work day. But now we know nowadays that we're all busy. If we do say Tachanun, if we don't say Tachanun, if we do eat matzah, we don't eat matzah, what type of matzah should we eat? Why really should we relate to this day as anything to do with us? We didn't bring a first Karban Pesach. We were all Tamei. There is no Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately. Why do we even think about Pesach Sheni? The Chora, it should have nothing to do with us. It only has to do with those people who had an opportunity to bring the first Pesach and they couldn't for some technical reason, either because they were too far or because they were Tamei. And if you don't have the opportunity to bring Pesach Sheni as well, so there's nothing to celebrate. There's nothing to do. So what are we having today? People eating matzah, people all nervous. Did I eat matzah? Did I not eat matzah? Can I borrow some matzah? You know, to be Mekayim, this so minig, as we'll get to a little later, of eating of matzah on Pesach Sheni. Why are we even trying to tap into Pesach Sheni if seemingly it's completely unrelated to us? It's like, you know, it's like I'm a Yisrael. So, I'm not a Kohen. So am I going to do something that could commemorate the fact that the Kohanim every day in the Beis HaMikdash had to do specific parts of the Avodah? It has nothing to do with me. It's very nice what the Kohanim had to do. It's very nice what the Yidden had to do in the times of Beis HaMikdash for those people who could have brought the first Pesach and didn't bring it, and therefore they get to bring a Pesach Sheni. What does that have to do with me? So that's the first issue I want to raise, and hopefully we'll get to it as we go along. The second question, I want to jump back a little bit to the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Just about 1 month ago, we all read by Korech, we had Matzah, Motzi Matzah, Morah Korech. And we all say, or at least many people have the minhag to say the following paragraph when they say, before they eat their sandwich. Zeichel k'mikdash kehillah, this sandwich I'm going to eat now of the matzah mar is reminiscent of what Hillel did in times of Beis HaMikdash. Kenas Hilbas Bancha Beis HaMikdash Hayakayim. So did Hillel. Hayakorech, he would sandwich together matzah umarar, matzah with mar, and some people add in that he also had the Karm Pesach. Okay, v'ochel b'yachad. He would eat his sandwich together. L'kayim Hashemar, to fulfill the following pasuk. Al matzos umrorim yochlu. We eat the Karm Pesach with matzah and marar. Now that's a beautiful pasuk, but the problem with it is as follows. That pasuk was right above us in at the end of pasuk Yud Aleph in source 1. That pasuk is particularly referring to the idea of eating the Pesach Sheni. The pasuk back in Parshas Bo, which has the mitzvah of Pesach Rishon, that pasuk says umatzos amurorim yochlu. A similar pasuk, but slightly different. Meaning, we're asking a question now: why by Korech, when we're commemorating seemingly what Hillel did in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, we ate Karm Pesach, we're bringing the pasuk of Pesach Sheni. It's the wrong pasuk. We should bring the pasuk that refers to when they ate the Pesach Rishon with matzah sumar. The pasuk we're quoting, "Amatzah sumarom yochlu," is the end of pasuk Yud Aleph up above, and it's not talking about Pesach Rishon. So why, by Korech, are we bringing a pasuk of Pesach Sheni, not Pesach Rishon? Okay, let's hold that for a moment. So before we get to the next source, the Minchas Chinuch, just give it back of backdrop. We spoke about this a little bit already, but just to get it all together, the idea of Pesach Sheni is if for whatever reason an individual was too far away from the Beis HaMikdash by the first Pesach, or he was Tamei Meis, he could not purify himself on time for the first Pesach, so he has an opportunity, he has a makeup a month later. However, if Rov HaTzibor, if the majority of Klai Yisrael were Tamei, then the halacha is, then Tumah Hutra over here by Karban Pesach, it's a unique halacha, and the Klai Yisrael, if 51% of Klai Yisrael was Tamei by the first Pesach, then we would allow to bring the first Pesach B'Tumah, and even those people who are Tahar could also bring it then, as the Mishnah and Gemara discussed little details how they would all enter the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, because you don't want the Tahar people becoming Tamei. Mm-hmm. Fine. Okay, it's a technical issue how they deal with that, but there will be no Pesach Sheni. So again, if Rov of the Tzibur was Tamei Pesach Rishon, the halacha clearly is in the Gemara that there's no Pesach Sheni because the Pesach Rishon could be brought B'Tumah. Similarly, if most of the people are B'derech Rechoka, if Rov of the people are B'derech Rechoka, then also you don't, since there's no Pesach Rishon, because most people aren't there. So it's interesting halacha. We go Basar Roy when it comes to Karim Pesach. The Menchas Chinuch discusses, how do we determine the majority and the minority over here? Are we looking about the people that are in close proximity? Let's say regard the Hilchas Tumah, right? We want to say, if Rov Klai Yisrael is Tumah, they can bring the first Pesach B'Tumah. So we're looking for 51%. Are we looking for the Jews all the way out in the far east and the far west corners of the world? Or are we dealing particularly with the Jews that are in the locale here of the Beis HaMikdash? So Menchas Chinuch has a chiddush, and he says, this one I'm going to paraphrase now from Source 3. L'fi Masha Kasafti, he says, based on what I've written previously, it's a long piece, I just brought the last paragraph. He says, the Iker, the main idea here is that we consider only those people that are here right now and want to bring the Karban Pesach. And those people that are not here, they didn't check in at all, so to speak, in the locale of the Beis HaMikdash, we don't take them into the equation. So if we have, for argument's sake, 100 Jews, pretty small, but just for argument's sake, 100 Jews in the proximity of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach, and 51 of those Jews are Tamei, so we say, Rov of the Jews are Tamei, you can bring the Karban Pesach B'Tumah, and there's no Pesach Sheni. But if you have 100 Jews by the Beis HaMikdash, and 51 are Tahar, even though if you would take a poll and go around and calculate all the Jews in farther out places, and you would see that the majority is Tamei, it doesn't make a difference, then they would have to bring the Pesach Sheni. Even though we say that only individuals get pushed off to Pesach Sheni, not at Tzibor, but you only count the numbers of people that are in our proximity again right here. So again, we look, according to Menachas Chinuch, about the numbers in front of us right here. From there, we consider whether or not we should bring Pesach Rishon B'Tumah, or we should bring Pesach Rishon only B'Tahara, and those people that are Tameh have to wait for the second Beis HaMikdash. So again, we evaluate what's in front of us right now. Says the Menachas Chinuch, based on this idea, I would like to suggest a Chiddush. Nowadays, he says, unfortunately, we're all Tamei Meis. Rov of us are Tamei Meis. But Rov of us, we're not in proximity of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach. So, what do we consider? He says, we consider that we would still be allowed to bring Pesach Sheni. Again, if Rov of us were in the proximity of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach, then it would have been suited for us to bring a Pesach Rishon. except that we are tameh, we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, technical difficulty. But halachically, he says, technically, we would have been able to bring it, so there would not have no, but there would have been no din of Pesach Sheni. But since we weren't there, we were in Chutz La'aretz, wherever we are, far away from the Beis Hamikdash, the halachic ramification of Pesach Sheni still exists. And therefore, says the Minchas Chinuch, where I bolded off the middle of the paragraph there, Imke Nira Boror, he says, therefore it appears to me, Im Yivna Habayis, if the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt, excuse me, speedily in our days, between the two Pesachs, go back to the next line where it's bold, he just brings a proof from Rosh Hashanah that's possible. Kivan de Barishan Lahoy Yisrael Sham, since by the first Karm Pesach, the majority of the Jewish people were not there. V'loy Hayah Mikdash, there was no Beis Hamikdash. Ein Chilik Bein Rov Lemiyat, we don't have to be worried about what the majority was, what the minority was. Imkein Kol Yisrael Chayov Maseis Pesach Sheni. All Jews, says the Minchas Chinuch, are obligated to make a Karm Pesach Sheni, kimo geirim harbe, as if we all became converts. Like if a person would become a convert between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, he would be obligated. We paskin to Macholkes, but we paskin to be obligated to Pesach Sheni. Kidinim elu, because these halachas of rov umiyit heim rak ha'om dem chutz la'azar. It's only those people who are outside the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. And he says, al ba'ein omdim, if they're not there, if ain't Beis Hamikdash, ain't a cheshbon hazeh, we don't have to make the calculation, and all Klal Yisrael would make the Pesach Sheni. So again, Minchas Chinuch is saying halacha that if the Beis Hamikdash would start being built right now, before Pesach Sheni, we would have the opportunity this year, all of us, even though there was no Pesach Rishon, to bring the Pesach Sheni. It's kind of interesting, we're calling it Pesach Sheni, but really it would be Pesach Rishon, right? Because there was no Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni would become Pesach Rishon.
Yeah, well, I used to say that if they built the Beis Hamikdash before Pesach Rishon, And we had the opportunity to do the carbon, then
but since
do din, then it could do the shading.
But since all of us were considered to be, we're all Tomei now, so there was no consideration for the first Pesach Rishon, so Pesach Sheni still exists. But Pesach Sheni, I'm just saying, would become Pesach Rishon. So if Mashiach comes today, and we have the schos to bring the carbon Pesach next week, so it would all be a first opportunity for us. But technically, we're calling it Pesach Sheni. Mechas Chinuch concludes the last line where it's bolded. He writes an amazing thing. He says, "Vani kaisiv zeh." I'm writing this halacha bein shnei apsach. I'm writing it this time of year. He's writing it sometime after Pesach, before Yudal Iyar. He wrote sign. May it be Hashem's will. Sheyibane b'mehera kaidem Pesach Sheni v'niske v'nasa Pesach Sheni. Amen v'amen. I hope this year to bring it. Says the Mechas Chinuch. I'm writing it this time of year. It's a seasonal halacha, and I hope I'm going to fulfill it this year. So at this point right now, we introduce the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Others say this as well, but we're bringing it from the Minchas Chinuch that if, even though no one brought a Pesach Rishon, so you would think, if there's no Pesach Rishon, you don't have a makeup. If there was no original, the Minchas Chinuch says it's the Chiddush, since we're all Tomei, and none of us wear by the Beis Hamikdash, by Pesach Rishon, therefore we'd all have the opportunity to bring Pesach Sheni. And then he concludes afterwards, where it took off the bold, he says, he saw in the Yerushalmi this idea as well, it's a machlokas of a Tanoim. So in source 4, I quoted the Yerushalmi, and this is the Yerushalmi Masechtas Pesachim, beginning of the 9th parak, and I'll just read what I put down. It says, Nitein li Yisrael livnos Beis HaBachira. If the opportunity is given for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and some of Farshim and Daik from here are very interesting, that we know it's a discussion how the third Beis HaMikdash is going to appear. Some say that the third Beis HaMikdash will fall down from Shemayim as a fiery Beis HaMikdash rebuilt from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there are those that want to be dyke from this Yerushalmi that you see that we're going to have the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash. Because Yerushalmi says, if we get the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash, what should be the halacha? So the implication is that who's building it? We're going to get the contract. Hope we get good builders. So if we get the opportunity to build the Beis HaMikdash, Yachid Oysa Pesach Sheni, Vein Tzibur Oysa Pesach Sheni. So the Tanakhama says, only single people can make Pesach Sheni, not the Tzibur, only individuals. Therefore, the Tanakhama learns, not like we were saying till now, that since no one brought the Pesach Rishon, therefore the whole Tzibur, the masses, cannot bring Pesach Sheni. So according to Tanakama, if the Beis HaMikdash gets built right now, we would not have the opportunity to bring a Pesach Sheni. Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda says, Tzibur Oysa Pesach Sheni. No, the whole Tzibur could have the opportunity to make a Pesach Sheni. Shekei Matzinu, he says, I have a scriptural source for this as well, in the story of Chizkiah, in the story that recounts in Divrei Yomim, Sha'asa Pesach Sheni, there was one time where the whole Klal Yisrael missed the first Pesach, and he established that they could make the whole Klal Yisrael made Pesach Sheni. Hadu the Chsiv, he quotes the Pasuk of Divrei Yomim, Ki Marbis Om Rabbas Me'efraim Nasha V'goymer. So we have here,
is the first one, what happened?
They missed, there was days in Chizkiah, there was a story that they missed the whole Klal Yisrael missed Pesach Rishon. They were Tomei and they were Avodah Zarah, a whole story over there. And Chizkiah HaMelech decreed that they...
Sin?
Yes. Chizkiyahu HaMelech decreed they couldn't make the Pesach Sheni. Even though the whole Tzibor, Rabbi Yehuda...
They could, yes.
Chizkiyahu said they could, yes, make the Pesach Sheni. So Rabbi Yehuda is bringing that as a proof that you see that's not just for individuals, you see the masses as well. The whole Tzibor was able to bring Pesach Sheni. There's a fascinating Meshech Chachma, I'm just going to mention it quickly. Meshech Chachma learns that if we go with the sheet of Rabbi Huda and Meher B'Yemein, if the Beis HaMikdash is built this week and we have the opportunity to bring Pesach Sheni, Meshech Chachma learns in the Pesukim and Parshas Baal Loischa, we wouldn't just celebrate Pesach Sheni for one day, we would have a whole other week of Pesach to celebrate. So just because if you think you had enough in Nisan, according to the Meshech Chachma, we're going to celebrate Be'ezer Hashem Pesach Sheni next week, which will be Pesach Rishon for us. We're going to have a whole week off again to celebrate Pesach.
What if the base of Mikdash is built before seven days? You don't have 7 days between when the base of Mikdash is built. And
so Hirsch Chaim is raising a very good technical point. We'll get to that. That there's an issue here because the base of Mikdash could be built at the end, let's say, of this week, towards closer to next Sunday is Yud Daled Iyar. So if it's built today, we have a good chance still. So it can become, we need 7 days for purification process because we're all Tamei Meis. When you get to Eifet Paraduma, the Kohanim will have to work overtime and work it out. But fine, I'm sure it'll work out well. But we have enough time if the Beis HaMikdash gets built today. If the Beis HaMikdash, Chas V'Shalom, gets built later on in the week, then we're not going to have enough time because we need 7 days to be purified before Pesach Sheni. You are correct. So there is a technical issue. There's another technical issue we'll get to in a minute, but that's one technical issue if it happens later in the week. So it has to happen within enough time for us. That's why the Shir is today, a whole 8 days before Pesach Sheni, so we'll have enough time to become Tahar.
Is the Pesach Sheni only the Tahara?
Right, if we're still Tamei. Yeah, right. If it's still going to be Tamei then that's it. We lose our chance.
Don't you think that if the Beis HaMikdash descends, that it's going to descend in time for us to all be able to go there?
I hope
it's
so.
It's just going to sit there for...
Well, no, we can go there, but we won't be able to bring Pesach Sheni.
But
other
I mean, we
all got lots of kabbanas to bring, but we won't be able to bring Pesach Sheni.
You know, but isn't it kind of significant?
We would like, yes, happened? That's what we hope. That's what we're having this year today. We're getting ready. Okay, so now let's go back to the question we raised before. We raised before by Koirech, by the Seder night, we all said, Zeicha Mikdash Gehil, etc. And we ended off saying, Amatzes Humroim Yechlu. We asked, why are we bringing the Pasuk of Pesach Sheni? It would have been more significant, it would have been more appropriate to bring the Pasuk from Pesach Rishon. So on the next page, in source number 5, it's from the Sefer Kimaitzeh Sha'arav, which is a great Sefer on Chumash. It's Malakeh, it collects from many fascinating stories and Devei Torah from various interesting sources. And they bring a Maaseh there from the Belzer Rebbe. I think it was the first Belzer Rebbe, it was called the Sar Shalom from Belz. And he asked this question by the Seder. Why is it that we're saying this Pasuk, Amatzes Humroim Yechlu, at the end of Korach? We should say the Pasuk which is for Pesach Rishon. So he says, it's 4 lines down in this paragraph. It says, Kavanas Bal Haggadah Hi, the Kavanah of the Haggadah here is B'loshim Bakasha. It's a tefillah, it's a request. Shekein Atab, I'm saying around, we're saying nowadays with our abundance of sins, we don't have a Karm Pesach. And we can't, all we can do is Zeicha Mikdash, but we're diving to Hashem. Sheishuas Hashem, Hava Kaharafai, and the salvation of Hashem should come quickly. The Yibon HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. Lifnei Pesach Sheni, and we're saying we should be Mekayim. We were asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Bakasha, please let us, right now we're having only matzah and mara. It's a Shvachah sandwich. We want the meat. We want the steak in the middle. We want the lamb chops in the middle. So we're asking Hashem, please let us fulfill Amatzah Sumroim Yechlu so we can fill Pesach Sheni properly next month. So it says the Belzer Rebbe, this tefillah of Korach is not just a statement. It's like, you know, FYI, this is what Hillel used to do. Okay, let's eat. No, we're davening now by Korach that we should be zeiche for the fulfillment at the end of Pesach Sheni, that we should be zeiche to have Pesach Sheni properly with the Karban Pesach. So that's a beautiful pshat from the Belzer Rebbe. Problem was, is that someone told this pshat over to the Shor LeMeshiv. The Shor LeMeshiv was Rav Levav, Rav Yosef Shor Natanson, and tremendous Pesach, wrote thousands of tshuvas, and he was Litvish. And he said, well, it's a great pshat, maybe for the Chassidish Olam. But the problem is that it's against the Gemara. Because the Bavli says, Pashas Lashon of the Gemara is that only Yechidim, only individuals can bring a Pesach Sheni. The Tzibor, the masses, can't bring a Pesach Sheni. So we can't be diving there. We should all bring Pesach Sheni. It's not possible. Because none of us brought Pesach Rishon. So the Shalom Meshav sent back to the Belzer Rebbe, your pshat is against the Gemara. So the Belzer Rebbe responds, that's the paragraph later. He says, what do you mean? I have a Yerushalmi, like we said before. The Yerushalmi backs me up. The opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Yerushalmi is that if the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, even though usually Pesach Sheni is only for individuals, not for the Tzibor, but here where no one brought the Pesach Rishon, we would, yes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, bring a Pesach Sheni. So therefore, the Belzer Rebbe defended his pshat based on this Yerushalmi that we just quoted, that we would, yes, have the opportunity to bring a Pesach Sheni according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, they don't bring this question over here, but I pose the question to you, is that okay? That's good according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda's arguing with the Tanna Kamma, and we have a general principle that we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against the Tanna Kamma. So that's something to think about. Just more food for thought is that it could be many of the Kloli HaPsak that we have within the Mishnayos might change B'mayis HaMashiach. There's a famous word from the Arizal that B'mayis HaMashiach we're going to change, even though now we paskin like Hillel, Beis Hillel, we're going to paskin less love like Beis Shammai, and many Pshatim know exactly what that means. But just because we have a certain Klal now in place that we paskin like Tanna Kamma over Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't necessarily mean that for sure we'll paskin like Tanna Kamma Rabbi Yehuda Las Lavai. So it could be that's why the Belzer Rebbe was still hopeful that Las Lavai will paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so we can have the opportunity to bring the Pesach Sheni in case we miss the Pesach Rishon. But based on this now new Yisrael that we're saying that if the Beis Hamikdash should be rebuilt today, we would have the opportunity to bring the Pesach Sheni. The grandchildren of the Chassam Sofer give an amazing pshat. They say there's a very interesting tshuva for the Chassam Sofer where he's not discussing Pesach Sheni at all. He's discussing other halachos about all different types of things. In the middle, he writes, and today's date is Yud Iyar, the 10th day of Iyar, which will be this week on Tuesday. It's the day of the Bikur, or Wednesday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right? It's the day of the Bikur, of the checking for the Pesach Sheni. Now, seemingly that's just interesting information. He's examining his carbon for the Pesach Sheni. There was no Beis HaMikdash. What's he talking about? But the real problem is that the Gemara says clearly that the carbon Pesach that we bring in Nisan, the real carbon, the main carbon Pesach, that needs the halacha of Bikur Dal Yom. We set it aside 4 days before and we check it to make sure there's no blemishes, no mum. Right? I remember as a child when I was in elementary school, they used to bring us around in the month of Nisan. One of the rabbis would walk around with a lamb through the school, a live lamb. I don't know if they can still do this nowadays. I know the laws maybe change. And they would show us what a lamb looks like because, you know, when I was in Brooklyn, there was no, people didn't have pets. People didn't have animals. There was no petting zoos around. If you want to know what a sheep looks like, they got to bring it to school, right? So they brought around. We would see what it looked like. They try to teach us some of the basic halachas, what to look like, what a mum might look like. I'm not sure if they all knew exactly themselves either, but they were trying to just give us the experience of understanding what it might mean to have a lamb tied to your bed. So, but the halacha is that Pesach Rishon needs a Bikur Dal Yom. We set aside, we look for a mum for 4 days before. But Pesach Sheni, the Gemara says, doesn't have this halacha that it requires a Bikur of Dal Yom. We just could pick an animal up that morning, as long as it doesn't have a mum, and bring it for the carbon. We don't have to designate it 4 days in advance. So why the Chassam Sofer writing his tshuva that today is Yud Iyar, the 10th day of Iyar, and it's the day where I'm examining my sheep for my Pesach Sheni? What's he talking about? The Gemara says you don't need to do it. Says Rav Yosef Natali Stern, who was a great descendant of the Chassam Sofer, he says, based on this pshat of the Belzer Rebbe, I'll explain to you as follows. Maybe the Chassam Sofer holds like the Belzer Rebbe as well. And it's true that a regular Pesach Sheni in the times of the Beis HaMikdash would not have required a four-day separation because it was only what's called a carbon yachid. It was an individual's carbon. Only a carbon sibor, a carbon that's bought by the masses, needs to have bikur dal yamim. But now that the whole Klal Yisrael has the opportunity to bring carbon Pesach Sheni, b'meher b'yameinu, if it's Beis HaMikdash is built today, so a carbon Pesach will have Pesach Sheni, will be like a carbon sibor again, and therefore we would, yes, need to separate a sheep or a goat 4 days before Pesach Sheni in order to be ready for the Pesach. So we have to, number one, prepare ourselves in case Beis HaMikdash Meher B'yameinu gets rebuilt today. We have to get ready to become Tahar. And number two, this week, in the middle of the week, we all got to get our sheep ready or our goats ready and make sure they don't have any blemishes for the Karban Pesach according to this Chassam Sofer. Okay, so until now we discussed the basic halacha of Pesach Sheni and how it's applicable nowadays. Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, that the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt now, according to many Paiskim, we'll still have the opportunity to bring Karban Pesach Sheni, even though none of us brought a Pesach Rishon. Okay.
First we'd have to become tar.
Yes, we need to become tar, yes.
So how am I going to do that to get ready?
The Kohanim are going to, we need 7 days for that ritual to happen.
Right.
It's a 7-day process. So the Kohanim will prepare you, they'll get you the Efer Paraduma, the ashes for the Paraduma. They'll set it up, we don't have to worry about it. So just stay tuned.
You just get in line.
Just get in line, right. Yeah.
But since it's everybody's Tomei, do we have to worry about getting everybody Tahor if it's within less than
For Pesach Sheni, we all have to be Tahor again. Even though the masses were, everyone was Tomei, the halacha only applies to Pesach Rishon. For Pesach Sheni, if the mass is still Tomei, we lose the opportunity. So we gotta hope. Today's the day. Okay, now I want to discuss some of the other halachos that are applicable on Pesach Sheni. In case the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, lo yaleinu, and we have Pesach Sheni the way it's been until now for the past number of years, what are various minhagim and different things that we do on Pesach Sheni.
Did you say that the Pesach Sheni is an individual carbon or a tzibur carbon?
Usually it's individual carbon. If it's going to be like this year, Be'ez HaShem, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and we're all going to bring Pesach Sheni, it'll have a din like a carbon tzibur, similar in certain aspects. Okay.
Technical point of view, some sofer wasn't tahor yet, so
right.
Even.
But he's writing. This is the day that he hoped to have been the day, right? The hope to be the day of separating his. Listen, at least we can get used to the halachas of start separating the karbanos, and now we can't have to be careful. You can't say this is going to be my carbon because then you're putting kedusha on the animal, and that's a big problem. You could say in case there's going to be some midrash, and I'm going to need to have a sheep or a gedi, I would like this one to be ready for it. But don't designate particularly. We'll get to the halacha more in a minute because that's halacha of Isra of saying basur zelot. The Pesach, designating a specific animal or meat for a Karban Pesach. But let's discuss various minhagim that we might have on on Pesach Sheni. So there's a Chidah, source number 6, in the Sefer Avodas HaKodesh. The Chidah writes a quick one-liner. He says, Yom Pesach Sheni, Yarbe Simcha Ketzas, increase Simcha a little bit, Ki Kodesh Hayom, gets a holy day. Now, he doesn't give too much reason why. Like I asked before, excuse me, what's so special about the day? It's only applicable if you didn't bring a first Karban Pesach, and now you have the opportunity to bring a Pesach Sheni. Let's say in the times of Beis HaMikdash, we all brought a Pesach Rishon. So seemingly, Pesach Sheni would be a regular Tuesday, so to speak. It would be a regular weekday. We could do lots of holy things, but it shouldn't be anything particular. But here, the Chidah is saying, for some reason, there's an idea of having some level of Simcha, because some Kedusha to the day. Comes along the Yavetz, he's not discussing the Chidah per se, but I think it could fit in very well, and that's in source number 7 on the next page. This is Rav Yaakov Emden in a Siddur, and he writes something fascinating. The third line down the paragraph, he writes, he's talking about here the 14th day of Iyar, next Sunday. He says, "Hu yontif shel devrayim," it's a yontif that has sources in rabbinic writings, "v'chisas pischa ze'ira," that's the lashon of the Brisa of Megillas Tainis, that's the day where we shecht the small carbon Pesach, so to speak, Pesach Sheni. Then he continues on the next line, says, "Roy, it's appropriate. Shaloi loyim by tachanak upon him. At least you shouldn't say tachanun." Now again, he doesn't say why. He's just saying because there's something, there's some special power of the day, but at least we shouldn't say tachanun. Now, v'tam Pesach Sheni, says Rav Yaakov Emden, an amazing idea here. The reason for Pesach Sheni, shehukva b'ir, that was established in Ir, gilu li min hashemayim, had a revelation from heaven why this day is special. Now, because keep in mind, there's another question I didn't raise before. Yeah, Gilu Li Min HaShemayim was revealed to me from the heavens. But let's keep in mind, I have another question here. Pesach Rishon is in Nisan. How long does, now they said because the people were Tamei, right? How long does the purification process take, like we said? 7 days. Let's even give an extra week for whatever technical issues people come up with. So let's say it would take someone 2 weeks to become Tahar. So still, we should have Pesach Sheni Rish Chodesh Iyar. Why are we waiting to have Pesach Sheni a whole month after Pesach Rishon? Let's wait 2 weeks, 10 days, something, enough time to become tar, and then get on with it. Have the Pesach Sheni. Why are we waiting a whole month later? Says of Yaakov Emden, it came to me from the heavens as follows. He says, "Lefisha boy kolsa harora shaitziu mitzrayim," because in the day of Yudalat Iyar was a day that the matzah, the biscuits, the bread that they took out with them from Mitzrayim was completed. He quotes that from a medrash. He says after the parentheses there, he says lefikach ad ka nimshach neis yitzias Mitzrayim v'achilas matzah. For the first month when the Jews left Mitzrayim, the whole experience of yitzias Mitzrayim was one day tezvav. Then a week later, we know they crossed the Yamsuf, but there was still some aspect of the neis that was still alive and kicking. Some level of kedusha was still going for the whole month. They existed on the matzah of Yitzias Mitzrayim for 1 month. They had 1 month's supply of food with them when they left Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov Emden says. So there's something special that up until Yudalat Iyar, there was some kedusha still from Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that ended at the end of Yudalat Iyar. So he suggests. Then the chayin be Pesach Sheni matzah v'chometz imabayis. So on the first Pesach Sheni, although at that point no one brought Pesach Sheni, the first year the Jews left Mitzrayim, no one had Pesach Sheni because they all left. They did Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim. They all left. A month later, though, says Rav Yaakov Emden, is when they ran out of matzah. That's when the neis of Yitzias Mitzrayim ended. The next year, they're having the second Karban Pesach brought in Nisan. People are complaining they want to have the opportunity as well. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, fine, you could do it a month later. Why a month later, says Yaakov Emden? Because for the first month of after Yitzias Mitzrayim, there was still some aspect, some shemet, some leftovers of the nes that was still in existence. So therefore, he says that's why Pesach Sheni was nikba, was established to be brought on the 14th day of Iyar, because that's the last day where it connected still to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So just think about the nes of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We all leave Egypt en masse. Crazy scene. A week later, we all cross the Yam Suf, and we're all still living in some hard situation. We're all living on matzah for the next 3 weeks until the matzah runs up, and then only the next day, on the 15th day, is when the mon starts falling. So this says back again. This is why the day here of Yudal Iyar has some significance to it, because it's a day where the nace of Yetzias time culminated by the fact that our matzah ran out. This is a suggestion of Rav Yaakov Emden.
It's strange though, because we supposedly we ran out so fast that we only had time to bake it. So not only do we bake for one day, we bake for
it. Seemingly right. Vales asked a good question. Since we ran out because we had a run. We were leaving on the run, right? We couldn't bake bread because we're on the run. But even though we were in the run, we still had enough supply, right? Yiddish mama, how much does she pack for, right? They got that bag. It's never going to run out so quick. You got a month's supply of food always, right? So the Jews had a month's supply of food with them when they left Mitzrayim. Now, the Shulchan Aruch...
Not just for them, but for their animals and everything.
Right. Yeah, everybody has. It was a miracle. It was unbelievable. The Shulchan Aruch does not tell us in Siman Kuf Lamed Alf in Aruch Chaim that this is a day we do not say Tachanun. There the Shulchan Aruch lists many days that we do not say Tachanun. The Shulchan Aruch over there does not say not to say Tachanun. And the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 8 is bewildered. He says, V'Pesach Sheni Lo Chashvu. Pesach Sheni is not counted on the list. V'Pela. And it's wondrous. Why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say not to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni? And then he says, U'minak asfardim shlo lipobai. However, the meaning of the Sfardim is not to say Tachanun, but seemingly the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that the meaning of Ashkenazim is yes to say Tachanun. And the Prima Gadim writes that since it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch not to say Tachanun, we should say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. And the Mishnah Berurah as well does not say in his list, does not say not to say Tachanun. So it seemed like if you're a real Litvisha guy, you would say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. And the Chazon Ish and those people who follow the sheet of the Chazon Ish say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni. However, as we know, the common custom is, I think the shul here as well, I think, if I remember correctly, we'll check next week on Sunday, custom of many people is not to say Tachanun on Pesach Sheni, and in Lakewood Yeshiva as well, that's the minig, we do not say Tachanun on Sunday, on Yud Dal Iyar on Pesach Sheni. And however, the minig in Lakewood is that the mincha before, we do say Tachanun. So Shabbos, let's say, this Shabbos we would say Tzidkascha, but if it would be a weekday, we would say Tachanun, because even though usually the rule is, don't say Tachanun, the mincha before the day, you don't say Tachanun, say Rosh Chodesh, right? So we don't say Tachanun Rosh Chodesh, also mincha before we don't say. That's only because there's some more kedusha to the day that doesn't exist by Pesach Sheni. There's other reasons, but that's the different minhagim. However, there are some chassidim, and that's in the in source number 9, Imre Pinchas or Pinchas Mekartzer, excuse me, from the earliest Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, he brings down that not only is the minig not to say Tachanun on Yudalid, also the minig is not to say Tachanun on Tezvav Iyar, and he says because that's the day when the mon started falling down. We said before from Yaakov Emden, and then the footnote over here in source number 9 in Kuf Mem Gimel, he brings from the notes of the Manistritzer, that's a small, for those who are familiar with Ukraine geography, that's a small place right near Uman, Manistritz, and there he brings as well that the Baal Turim brings this idea as well, that the mon started falling on the 15th day of Iyar, and that's why some chassidim won't say Tachanun on Sunday this year, Yudalad and Tezvav. And if you're really Chassidish, other Chassidish Sfarim bring down, they don't say Tachanun the whole week of Hoyd. As we know, the various days of Sfiros Omer correspond to different Sfiros of the Elamas HaYoinim. And for those people who understand what all these things mean, maybe they'll explain to me one day, they don't say Tachanun the whole week when it represents the Sfira of Hoyd. Okay, so if you're really Chassidish, that'll be a minig. If you don't have that minig, then probably you will say Tachanun. Okay, let's move on. So that's the idea of Tachanun saying or not saying. As we know, the most common custom on Pesach Sheni is everyone wants to get their matzah out again and have some matzah. So where does that come from? Some people think it's a halacha, it's a gemara, it's a pasuk. None of the above are true. It's a complete minhag, custom. And first of all, it's interesting to point out the Noi Debi Yehuda, in his Chidushim and Sechtes Brachas points out, he's not discussing the minhag of eating matzah at all on Pesach Sheni. He's discussing the matzah that they ate on Pesach Sheni, when they brought, what type of matzah did they have to eat with it? We know by Pesach night, by the Seder, we're all makbid on shmura matzah, whether it's machine shmura or hand shmura, it's a whole different discussion, but we're makbid on shmura matzah. What about The matzah of Pesach Sheni. So if you read the psukim, it says that tzlach, he's medayek in the psukim. The psukim never say about Pesach Sheni anything about having shmur matzah. Just talks about having matzah. Therefore, suggested tzlach that by Pesach Sheni, when they brought the carbon, there was no mitzvah to have shmur matzah. They could even have what we call matzah ashira, egg matzah, or matzah that was not shamur. So you can have your regular manischewitz egg matzah according to the tzlach when you had your carbon Pesach Sheni, because the pasuk only says kechol chukas haPesach. The carbon Pesach follows the halachas. The Pesach Sheni follows halacha, so the carbon Pesach Rishon. But the matzah aspect of it says the tzlach doesn't follow suit. So according to the tzlach, it would come out that when you have your matzah with your Pesach Sheni, you not have to have shmur matzah. You can have even your non-shmur matzah. So it would follow suit, that would seem. For those people who have the minik to eat matzah, you don't have to be machmer and having hand matzah or shmur matzah for Pesach Sheni. Any matzah would suffice. But where does this minik come from? And secondly, the Acharonim point out an interesting question. When is the common custom to eat matzah? On Yud Dal Iyar. But if you're bringing the Pesach Sheni, when did you eat your matzah? Not on Yud Dal. Yud Dal was there, you slaughter, you sacrifice, you bring the carbon. You eat it only in the evening, after Yud Dal, the evening of Tesvav, the 15th. So why are we eating matzah, excuse me, on the 14th day of Iyar? We should eat matzah on the 15th day of Iyar if we want to fulfill the remembrance of carbon Pesach Sheni. So this question is brought... source number 10 from Avnei Nezer. The Sefer Kli Chemda brings down that Avnei Nezer was bothered by this. Why did it become the minhag to eat matzah on the 14th? It should be the minhag to eat on the 15th. About halfway down, the Kli Chemda wants to offer his own answer. And he says, an interesting word. He says, Vani Amarti, I would like to suggest, She'efshar HaTamu, the reason why we eat matzah on the 14th and not the 15th, Rishum de Be'emes, because in truth, Yesh Chash, there is what to be concerned about of Baal Taisif. There's a prohibition of adding on to a mitzvah. She'eichel matzah be'emsa hashanah. Maybe we should be concerned that a person saying, I'm eating matzah now to fulfill the idea of Pesach Sheni, that's about to, adding on to a mitzvah. You don't have a carbon Pesach right now. You're just eating matzah because you want to eat matzah. And if you're having in mind to fulfill a mitzvah, you might be... Well, if you're having in mind, though, you're eating it to fulfill a mitzvah, people think it's a mitzvah, so you're running into a potential prohibition of Baal Tosef adding on to a mitzvah. However, no, because today is Pesach Sheni. It's Pesach Sheni, though, and there's a mitzvah if you bring a carbon to eat matzah. So people think they have a mitzvah. He says, you run into a problem of maybe having a potential Baal Tosef. He says, but if you're doing a mitzvah, shaloi bizmanoi, then it needs kavana, meaning like this. He says, if I do a mitzvah on the day, or in a zman of a mitzvah, even without kavanah, I can have Baal Taisif. But if I do a mitzvah, shalom, meaning if I take a lulav and esrog in the middle of Kislev, and I pick it up and just shake it for the fun of it, there's no Baal Taisif. There's no shaychus to the mitzvah. But if I have kavanah at that point, then there's a potential problem. He says, but that's dafka if you eat it on the day of the mitzvah. But here, if you want to eat matzah on your dalid, so then you would have to, you would not be over about Taisif if you're just eating it for the fun of it, so to speak. It says if you're eating it bisman mitzvah, which would be tezvav, then there's more of a concern about Taisif, there's more a potential problem about Taisif, because you're actually eating the matzah at a time when matzah needed to be eaten if you had this mitzvah. So, right. So therefore we specifically eat it on the 14th, he's saying he's trying to defend our custom to eat on the 14th. Why do we specifically eat on the 14th? In order to avoid any potential problem about Taisif, therefore you won't transgress adding a mitzvah. Because it's not the day to eat anyway. So it's ridiculous what you're doing. So just therefore, it's just a custom to remember, we'll get to this more in a minute, what we might be doing. So it's completely a zecher, and therefore we avoid any potential problem of Baal Taisif. Hold this thought for 1 minute. In the Rivei Sefraim, Refraim Grimbat Zatzal, he was asked, where's the source for this minig? So he writes a letter to his good friend, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky tells him, that's only a minig chassidim. But Sleinu, by us, Litvisha, we don't have this minig of eating matzah. So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky learns the whole minig of eating matzah is only a chassidish minig. The Litvisha don't have the minig. It's interesting to note, though, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's father, the Stipler Zatzal, did have the minig to eat matzah because he came from chassidish yichos. Chaim Kanievsky kind of adapted many of the minhagim of the chazanish, his uncle, and the chazanish's minig was like the Litvisha not to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. They don't have such a minig. So you have the chassidim eating, not saying tachanun and eating matzah, and you have the litvashah saying tachanun and not eating matzah. But more than just eating matzah,
and the store is 12, I saw from the Sefer Lekutei Ma'arich, which is a lot of Chassidus Shimon Hagim, he brings down from the Rebbe the Imre Eish and of David Deitch from the Gedolei of Galicia, they had matzah taka the night of the 15th, so this year will be Sunday night, they had matzah. Not only did they have matzah, they also had a cooked egg, to remember a carbon, and they would learn the halachas of Pesach Sheni that night. So they made like a mock seder, so to speak. That was the minig in Galicia of Surah Hasidisha. They would have matzah with an egg and learn the halachas of Pesach Sheni.
Why not read the Haggadah too?
Oh, so there, because there's no, we don't leave Mitzrayim. Everyone agrees we don't leave Mitzrayim that night, right? The Dark Echayim Shom, the next page, which is the Minhagim of the Minchas Laz, the Munkacher Rebbe. This is recorded by his Talmud of Gold in the Sefer Dake Chayim Sham. He brings down the minig of Munkach, and the minig, he says, of all Talmidei of the Baal Shem Tov was to get together on Pesach Sheni, have some type of fabrengen, some type of tish, because the ikra we go with the haschala, and what would they sing? They would sing Adir Hu, the song we sing in Nirtza, right? Adir Hu, Yivne Beis HaBikar, we want to have the Beis HaMikdash, we built speedily in our days. That's a song they would sing by their Pesach Sheni tish, and they would eat matzah, and they would eat maror. So that's if you're a munkach, you can't just get away with having a little nibble of matzah, that'll be easy. You also got to have a little maror in order to get the mitzvah, the zecher as well of maror. But he says also, the munkach rabbi's minhag was also to have a little matzah as well on tesvav. So that's a different minhagim, and we'll get to that more in a minute a little bit, about when to eat matzah. Some people have the minhag to eat on yodalad, some people have the minhag on tesvav, and some people have the minhag not to eat matzah at all. So you'll be safe either way. There's another fascinating halacha which is brought up, some place can discuss. We all know the custom is that Lel Seder, by Pesach night, we do not eat roasted meat. Why is that? There's a Mishnah in the middle of Pesachim which tells us that some people have the custom not to eat roasted meat, so we shouldn't look like we're having a carbon Pesach. Mm-hmm. How about Pesach Sheni night? Next Sunday night, can we have a barbecue? Barbecue roasted meat, right? Well, because why don't we eat roasted meat on Pesach night?
Because it looks like the carbon.
So how about roasted meat on Pesach Sheni night? Says the Rishash in the back of the Gemara, just like there's a minig and there's a chashash not to eat roasted meat on the night of the Seder, there should be a minig, there should be a concern of eating roasted meat on the night of Pesach Sheni as well. It's the same idea. In logic, it should follow that just like you don't eat roasted meat the night of the Seder because it shouldn't look like a carbon Pesach, we shouldn't have it as well on the night of Pesach Sheni. So according to the Rishash, no barbecues next Sunday night. However, Chacham Avadja, and this is quoted by Rav Yisrael as well, says that there's no minig like this. We don't have a minig. If you want to be machmir, then don't take a whole lamb or a whole gedi or a whole kid goat and roast it, because that really looks like a carbon. But to have just a little lamb chop or a little hamburger and stuff like that, he says there's
chicken,
no minig,
chicken,
or a little chicken, or if that would be okay. That's the common minig. We're not machmir for this Rishash. But he does point out, like I said before, you have to be careful not to say this basar is for my carbon Pesach Sheni. Just like you can't say it for Pesach Rishon, you cannot designate, because that gives it a certain chashivas of kachin b'chutz, of sacrificial meat. That will be a problem, so you have to be careful. You can say it's a zecher, it's just, I wish I had the carbon Pesach Sheni, things like that, but you cannot designate it particularly for your carbon Pesach. I want to end off with something the Munkach Rebbe said, and it ties into eating the matzah as well. It's just an amazing idea. The last year of the Munkach Rebbe, the Minchas Lazar's life, he was very sick. Before Pesach, and it was in the 30s, 20s or 30s, I don't remember exactly. And he says, you know, he couldn't get together with his chassidim. He was basically in his room, deathly ill. And shortly after Pesach, Al Chafei Nisan, was one of the Sanzer Rebbe's yard sites, and many of the Rebbe's that went to the Sanzer Rebbe's kever, and they were davening, and they all had a mind for the Fuhr Shlema, for the Minchas Lazar, for the Munkach Rebbe. And the next day, he started feeling a little better, and the chassidim were getting excited because Baruch Shem, the Rebbe seemed to be coming too. And they were hopeful that at least by Pesach Sheni, he would have more strength, and they would have the tish like they regularly have with the Rebbe on Pesach Sheni. They were looking forward to the Pesach Sheni tish with the Rebbe. And he says, but Lamaisa, the Talmidim bring down that he didn't get strong enough. He got a little better, but he wasn't well enough to come back out to join the chassidim that had a minyan in his house. But he wasn't well enough. And on Pesach Sheni, he calls out to his Rebbetzin and says the following. This is towards the last third of the paragraph, where it's like it's in quotation. It says, "Mashal." He says, "I'll tell you a mashal. What's this like?" Pesach Sheni. The Ma'adover Doime. What is this comparable to? The Melach Gadol, to a great king, Asher Girish Benoi, that exiles his son Mimenu, kicks his, the prince out of the palace. La'ezah Mokam, the Merchokam, sends him far away. Visham Mokam Ahu, he says, in that place where the son is far away, he sends him a chef, you know, gives him an opportunity to have food so his son should be taken care of. And every day, the prince, although he's far from his father, the king, at least he has the opportunity to get whatever his favorite delicacy is, and he can eat food properly so he can stay healthy. He says, once a year, there was one day where they celebrated the anniversary or the birthday, whatever it was, of the king, and the king would invite all his fellow governors and officers and all the, you know, head honchos would come to the palace and celebrate with the king. And that day, the son was hopeful. He was waiting that hopefully his father, the king, will call him back. So when the chef came to ask him today, what do you want to eat? He says, no, I don't want anything. I'm waiting because I don't want to eat here now. I'm waiting because I'm hopeful today my father, the king, will call me back and I'll join the big festivity, the big party back in the palace. And the day goes on. The clock is ticking. It's 1, 2 in the afternoon, 3, and he's waiting and waiting. Finally, as the shkia is coming, as the sunset's coming, he realizes that he's not going to have opportunity. His father's not going to call him back. He says, okay, I got to eat something. I'm not getting back to the palace, but at least prepare for me my father's favorite dish. Prepare for me the food that they'd be serving today. If I'll be by the party, so I can have some time and some flavor and some relation to the party that's going on. Says the Munkach Rebbe, Pesach Sheni, we're sitting, we're waiting, we're kicked out of the palace of Hashem. We're far away, and we're waiting, we're anticipating. We want Hashem, we're waiting for Hashem to call us back. We don't want to eat matzah. In the morning, breakfast, we don't want matzah, we don't want matzah. We want Hashem to call us back. As the day is coming to an end, he says, that's when he wants to have something to eat. Now he wants that matzah. He realizes that unfortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not calling him back today. So he says, tells the Rebbetzin, the last couple lines, he says, Tachanli, prepare for me some tashri matzah. Prepare me my knedloch. I'll have something from the matzah. I'll be able to eat some soft food. It's Pesach Sheni, right? But he says, now he can tap into something. You know, unfortunately, the king is not calling him back, but I'll have something to remind him of the tshuka, of the desire that he has to come back close to the king. So that's something to keep in mind when we're eating our matzah on Pesach Sheni, if we have such a minute, that we want to be desirous that at least it should, we should remind what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat. But Meher Yimeinu with the building of the base of Migdash. I just want to end off with a tremendous vart. I saw Chizik from Tzvi Meyer Zilberg, who's a big mechazek, a big rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, grandson of Gedal Yeshur. He says, the pasuk says, we start off with Lo Mani Gara, right? Klal Yisrael's taina was Lo Mani Gara. Why should we be left out? Why should we be, you know, second fiddle to those people who got to do the mitzvah? He says, this taina, and we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to them right away. He says, you see from here the powerful tefillah of Lo Mani Gara. If we would approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Lo Mani Gara, why should we be left out? Why can't we be a bigger Talmid Chacham? Lo Mani Gara, why should we be left out? Why can't we have more Yiras Shemayim? Lo Mani Gara, why should we be left out? And not an opportunity to be more chesed, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond. But we have to stand firm in our prayer, just like it says over there by the pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, stand, right? The pasuk said, Imdu, stand here. Imdu ve'eshman, I'll tell you my tzav Hashem, if we're ready to hear the Dvar Hashem, if we're ready to hear and change and get a message, a record from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we're supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'ez Hashem, listen to our tefillah of Lo Mani Gara, and we should be zeichet to go up, milas and milas and avayas Hashem, we should be zeichet this year to bring the Karim Pesach, Meher B'Yameinu.
Amen.